Good morning, everyone. That this will be a turning around morning in every life in Jesus' name. That God will put whatever you need in your life, in your family, in your ministry. You will triumph in ministry, in your profession and the work of your hand. Everything from today, even though you had been successful before, you have come to a level of significance. And the work of the Lord and your calling will prosper in your hand. Father, well, thank you. We know that you are here to bless your people. Lord Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, we give the glory to you and the praise to you. We know you are here to impact the life of everyone. Holy Spirit, you are here. And we're praying that you breathe on your people. Amen. Rekindle their love, Amen. Their passion, and the power of the Holy Ghost will take root in every life. You'll minister as God has called you and ordained you to do. Amen. We're asking, Lord, that you expound, expose your word to everyone this morning. Amen. That your word will do good in every life. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, you can have your seat. As we begin the ministers and professional conference today, I'm taking a familiar passage of scripture, a passage you know already. We're looking at Psalm 23. The triumphant power of our all-sufficient shepherd. Psalm 23 from verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Somebody there, I will fear no evil. Say that by yourself. For thou art with me. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely. Surely. Somebody shout surely. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How many days? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You notice in that psalm, the pronoun I, at the beginning, I shall not want, at the end, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You notice mine is my shepherd, and it's my soul that he restoreth. It's me that he leadeth. He leadeth me. And then you see, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's a personal psalm. David himself had been a shepherd. He was still a shepherd. He was shepherd over the sheep, and later he became shepherd over the nation of Israel. And he knew the dangers that sheep could have. He said, a bear came, and I held him with my bare hand, and I slew him. A lion came and he said, I also slew him. And then not only the bear, not only the lion, and Philistine came against, not against him, but against the nation. And because the Lord had chosen him to be the king and the leader and the ruler of the nation, Goliath also came against him. He finished them all. And then looking back, he said, I have been shepherd over the sheep, and I lost none, and I protected them, and I preserved them, and I supplied all their needs. Now he turned the table around. He said, I am the sheep now. He is the shepherd. And then he says, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all things, the Jehovah Jireh, and the Jehovah Sikeno, and the Jehovah Rapha, and the one who heals, and the one who saves, and the one who protects, and the one who preserves, that Jehovah God in heaven, El Shaddai, he is my shepherd. And then he said, I shall not want. Personal, royal, filial, in any area of my life and my existence, I shall not want. And I pray that today the Lord will bring you into the picture. Yes. Power in your life. Yes. Triumph in your life. Yes. Possibilities in your life. Even today, as you come to the Lord and you say, wait a minute, am I afraid? I will fear no evil because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not lack. I will not lack. As I said, we're looking at this psalm. We're talking about the shepherd, the all-sufficient shepherd. We talk about the sheep, that is the one that God has taken personally to be his possession. And that one will have triumphant power. Join everything together is the triumphant power of our all-sufficient shepherd. We're looking at the psalm, at this passage, you know, three perspectives. Number one, the plenitude. When you say plenty, when you say plenitude, the fullness, the plenitude and provision of the reigning shepherd. The reigning shepherd, we're talking about the God of heaven. He rules the earth, he reigns in heaven, and he reigns in the life of everyone that is called his. The plenitude and provision of the reigning shepherd. Number two is the privilege and protection of the righteous sheep. It brings us in. Peter reminds us that we have come to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. He restores us. He grants us salvation. He grants us righteousness. He grants us his very nature. And now we can say, it's not only provided for the body, it's provided for the soul and for the spirit. It's provided for the whole man. And we, the followers of the Lord, redeemed by the Lord and cleansed by the Lord, we are the privileged, protected, righteous sheep in the fold of the Lord. Number two there, the privilege and protection of the righteous sheep. Number three, our progress. You will make progress. Every day will contribute to progress in your life and in your ministry and in your profession. The progress that gets us into the paradise of rapturous splendor. At the end, we're expecting the coming Christ. At the end is what he said to that thief on the cross and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. As you are about to cross over to the other side, if you have to go before the rapture takes place, the Lord will tell you, well done, come in, and then you'll be with him in the eternal paradise in Jesus' name. The progress into the paradise of rapturous splendor. We're coming to number one here. Number one, the plenitude and the provision of the reigning shepherd. Once again, Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he tells us, it says, he maketh. Have you seen that? Not that he made for Peter, Paul, James, John. He maketh at the present time, in the present generation, for every child of God, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. Continuous tense. He keeps on leading me. When you were born again, he started leading and guiding you. And then you moved on. And as you are moving on, he keeps on leading you. The leading of the Lord will never stop in your life. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let's look at three things. In number one, the preeminence of the shepherd and his sufficiency. Number two, the proclamation of the sheep in every situation. Number three, the pastures for the sheep of the shepherd. Look at number one. Number one is the preeminence of the shepherd. Nothing on earth, nothing in heaven, nothing in the sea, nothing in the forest, no spirit in the bush is above our shepherd. He is above everyone. He is higher than the highest. And no matter what confronts your life, you're going to find our shepherd is preeminent, and his sufficiency, there is nothing you can do to quantify his sufficiency. Look at that, the first part of Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is today my shepherd. In the time of need, in the time of scarcity, in the time of problem, in the time when it appears your own human resources, they are all exhausted, you remember at the present time, the present day, the Lord, the Creator, the Redeemer, the All-Sufficient One is my shepherd. It may not, he may not belong to other people. Other people may not own him, accept him. But the Lord is my shepherd. As the Lord spoke about the sheep, and he said, my sheep belonging to me. The same way the sheep now can refer to the shepherd as my shepherd. He owns me. I belong to him, and anytime I need anything from him, he is my shepherd. In Psalm 80 verse 1, Psalm 80 verse 1 says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, if the shepherd of the whole nation of Israel, and if it's the shepherd of Israel, if the shepherd of the number one in that nation, David at that time, if he's the shepherd of the sheep of your congregation, if the shepherd of number one in that congregation, the minister there, the pastor there, he is the shepherd of your soul. He'll take care of you. O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. It'll shine forth in your life. And then Jesus Christ comes to make it clear to us when he says in John chapter 10 verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Why? For the salvation of the sheep, that is, of the sinner. Why? For the sanctification of the sons, that is, those who belong to the Lord already. He is a shepherd. When you come to the Lord, he saves you. He forgives your sin. He takes away the guilt and the condemnation. And then he says, don't go yet, because I am, when you were saved, I was the good shepherd to you. And now that you are saved, that you are in the kingdom, I am still the good shepherd. When you became sanctified, I am the good shepherd. I cleanse you, I purge you, I purify you, I make you holy. Why? Because I am the good shepherd. And then as you go on in ministry, when you come across a kind of a crossroad, and you say, what am I going to do? The shepherd will show up and say, I am here. I am the good shepherd. And he will see you through in every situation in Jesus' name. Hey, look at this in verse 14. In verse 14 it says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Wonderful. I know my sheep. When somebody is praying, the Lord looks at him. He looks at the book of life. He sees him there, knows his name there, looks at the book of life and sees that name. He said, yes, I know you. I've answered your prayer already. A prayer you pray this morning, the Lord has answered. Because he knows you. He knows where he has placed you. He knows your calling. He knows he's the one that put you there. You will not lag. Say, I will not lag. We have the preeminence and the provision of the shepherd. He is all sufficient. Hebrews chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 20. It says, now the God of peace, he'll give you peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, is the good shepherd for your salvation, is the great shepherd for your sanctification, for your holiness, is the glorious shepherd, the King of glory will come. And when that King of glory comes, he'll take you home to glory. And even now, you'll enjoy the glory of the Lord in your life, in your ministry, in your profession, in your family, in Jesus' name. The good shepherd, salvation. The great shepherd, sanctification. And then the glorious shepherd, that the rapture, he'll take you home to be with him in Jesus' name. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at verse 21. Through that blood, he'll make you perfect. We've been waiting for that for a long time. We tried, we struggled, we adjusted, we climbed, we fasted, we wanted to be perfect. Now, the chief shepherd has come. The great shepherd has come. The sanctifying shepherd has come. He'll make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through the Lord, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's look at number two here. We're looking at Psalm 23, the second part of verse 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want is the old English word for lack. So you can read it this way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not lack. Now, what does that mean? For a child of God, for a minister of God, for a professional, for somebody that the Lord has taken his life over, and he says, I am your shepherd, and therefore you will not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Can I wake up every morning and have the assurance that I will not lack? Can I proclaim to myself? Can I proclaim to everyone around me that the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not lack. Yes, I can. When I say that, what do I mean? I shall not lack ability or anointing. The Lord calls you, and then you understand, He called you to succeed. You will not fail.
Yeah.
I will not lack anointing. I will not lack ability. I will not lack abundance. I will not lack blessing, benefit, the blessing of the day. Every challenge the Lord calls you to, there is a blessing and there is a benefit accruing to that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack courage. You come at a point in your life, you're facing Goliath, and Goliath is cursing you, cursing David by his curse. And then David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack confidence. I shall not lack courage. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack dominion. That's what he's saying. When it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He said, whatever I need dominion, yes I do. You need dominion, yes you do. And the Lord, when the Lord is your shepherd, you'll have deliverance. You'll have dominion. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack energy. Energy. Sometimes you are called to do something, and then the skill is there, but the energy is not there. The strength is not there. And then you remember, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not lack energy. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will not lack the faith to pull through and to bulldoze my way through, because the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack faith, I will not lack fortitude, and I will not lack the freedom, the liberty I need to do what he has called me to do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack grace, I shall not lack godliness, I shall not lack the goodness of the Lord. After all, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How many days of my life? All days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack his goodness. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack healing, I will not lack health, and I will not lack harvest. He sends me to go and harvest, and I know that I have the result. You got the result before you got to the field, and you are going to have the harvest. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack holiness. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack happiness. Now, as I said recently in Proverbs 17 verse 22, that a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Can I have that happiness and that joy of serving the Lord? Yes, I can, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not lack the happiness and the health and the healing and the harvest and the holiness. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack inspiration. What if when I get there, I'm supposed to minister, and then I don't even have inspiration? No, you will have inspiration. You will have inspiration, because the Lord is my shepherd, and I will not lack joy. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack the king's kindness. Is there any son of Jonathan that I can show the kindness of the son to him? Because you are following Jesus Christ, kindness will be yours all the way through. The king's kindness I will not lack, because he is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will not lack love. The love of heaven, all of heaven looking at you and then bestowing all the love you need, it bestows that in your life. And because of that, when the love of heaven follows you every day, abides with you every day, and there is no lack. If there is no lack of love, there's no lack of favor in your life, goodness in your life, power in your life, in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack his mercy, because his mercy follows me everywhere. I will not lack his majesty. I will not lack his mountain moving power. I will not lack his miracle. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack nourishment. You know, sometimes somebody is educated and somebody has human strength, but he's malnourished, he's not nourished well, and because of that, whatever he knows and whatever he has, he cannot give to anyone. He cannot say, I know this, I know that, because the man does not have nourishment. But you, as a child of God, and the Lord is your shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack nourishment. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack opportunity. Every morning, doors of opportunity will open for you. The Lord has called me for this, has called me for that. Where is the opportunity? Behold, I set an open door before you that no man can shut. Anywhere you are, the help you need will come at the right time. The power you need will come at the right time, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack opportunity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack power. 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 Power to perform. Power to do. Power to climb every mountain. Power to solve every problem that comes near you. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack quickening. He quickens you, makes you alive when other people are dull and sluggish and they're moving as if there is no power. Because the Lord is your shepherd, you will not lack quickening in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will not lack righteousness. The righteousness of the Lord will cover you. The righteousness of the Lord will be imparted and imputed unto you, because the Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack righteousness. I will not lack revelation. You see, there are people that go through life, there's no revelation. It's what they knew and what they had about 20 years ago. And that's good. At least they're keeping that. But you know, fresh revelation from the Lord. Revelation that will put you over. Revelation that will make you climb every mountain and solve every problem and be able to untangle, unravel whatever it is. In the life of anyone you are ministering to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack revelation. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack supply. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Abundant supply. Supernatural supply, sufficient supply in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear sister, how do I educate this boy? The father is not available, and the father is not supplying anything. You will not lack supply. Amen. I need to get this done and get that done. Where do I get the wherewithal, the supply to do that? The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you may have life. Where are you there? That you may have life and have it more abundantly. Supply in your life in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack tenacity. You know, sometimes you hold something in, and as you are holding that thing, you are getting weaker, and then you cannot hold that thing again. And Satan says, aha, I said so, I thought so, I know you will not be tenacious, you will not be able to hold that thing till the end of life. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack the tough-mindedness and the tenacity that will help me to keep everything the Lord has given me. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack unction. I will not lack unction. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack unction and understanding. The Lord will grant you understanding in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack victory. As you go out today from here, you're going with victory. You're going with vigor. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack vigor. The strength of the Lord will uphold you, and it will carry you through. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack wonders. Wonders without number. Wonders every day in your life. Because the Lord is your shepherd, and that Lord is the God of all wonders. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack wonders. And then it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack exploits. Exploits. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works I do, he shall do. And then he says, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Exploits will never stop in your life. The miracles of yesterday that God has done through you will be a stepping stone to higher and greater and mightier miracles in Jesus' name. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack youthfulness. Youthfulness. You know, sometimes some people get to 50 or 55 or 60 and then their soul has retired. The body is still there, but the spirit has retired. It's like the inner man has retired. And therefore the strength of the youth that used to be there, the vision and the focus and the power of the youth that used to be there is not there anymore. This morning, your usefulness, the Lord will renew in Jesus' name. And the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack zeal. I will not lack zest. That is something within you. That every morning as you come before the face of the Lord, he puts a kind of new injection into your heart, into your life. As you open your eyes like this in the morning, you're really awake. And you say, today is the Lord, is the day the Lord has made. I'll be glad and rejoice in it. Every day, a day of joy. Every day, a day of achievement. Every day, a day of climbing up and getting to the peak in your life in Jesus' name. We're talking about the plenitude and provision of the reigning shepherd. And now the proclamation that the sheep himself is making, and is saying, this is what I have because the Lord is my shepherd. Look at Psalm 84, and I'm reading from verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Amen. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Look at Romans chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 32. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? Is giving you Christ, is giving you his salvation, is giving you all that he purchased on the cross of Calvary. How shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? Make it personal. Give me all things you receive in Jesus' name. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. How many things do you have? They are there in the storehouse. All you need to do is ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Which man of you shall have a son, if he shall give, if shall ask him bread, will he give him a stone? If he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If ye being evil by nature know how to give good things to children, how much more shall God, our heavenly Father, give good things to you? Good things to all that ask him. And so we know, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. And then he says in verse 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. We're coming to number three here. Number three here, the pastures of the sheep of the shepherd. The pastures, he leadeth me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Any shepherd in Israel knew this, that the sheep are normally afraid of turbulent water, and sometimes out of fear they rush into that turbulent river and they're swept away and they lose their lives. Because of that, The shepherd will go ahead of the sheep and will look for still, cool, restful, flowing river that will not endanger the lives of the sheep. And the same thing, the Lord is looking at us. He knows your nature. He knows your temperament. He knows what you are cut out for, and nothing beyond your strength will come your way. He'll not give you a ministry you cannot handle. He'll not give you a family you cannot provide for. He'll not give you a servant that you cannot walk along with, because he leads me beside still waters. He leadeth me beside still waters, and then maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Look at John chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 9. In verse 9, in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. And shall go in and out and find pasture. That is, as he calls you. He calls you to salvation. He calls you and you become the sheep of the shepherd. Then he says, as you are saved, you have entered in through the door of grace. You have entered in through the door of repentance and faith in Christ. Now he says, after that, settle it in your mind. You will go out and go in, and you'll find pasture. Amen. You'll find nourishment. Amen. Dryness, unsatisfied and hunger will not happen to you in Jesus' name. Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come. Look at this. You know, sometimes when some things happen to some believers, a Christian, and something great is stolen away from them, ministry stolen away from them, and then even their heart, even their courage, even their confidence, self-confidence stolen away from them, even the ability to go on and to pursue and to possess, that ability is taken away from them, then they say, well, that's how God wants it. They don't understand. There's a devil behind the door, a jealous devil, an evil devil, an envious devil. He wants to steal. Whenever anything is stolen away from you, don't say, God took it away from me. You will take that thing back. And then it says, and to kill. It's not, the devil is not interested in just killing somebody in the physical. If he can kill you in the inner man, if he can kill every courage you have and every kind of confidence you have, he kills the man. When he has killed the spirit, then he leaves the body like an empty carcass. And he says, okay, if you can walk, go ahead and go and walk. I've killed the real sin that brings life. You will not kill that in your life, because Christ says he came to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come. I have come. If you allow him to come into your life as the mighty warrior, allow him to come into your life as the life giver. I am come that they might have life. New life. Eternal life. Mighty life. Unconquerable life. A life that is resilient, that whatever comes your way, you are able to stand. You will stand. Amen. Bygone the days of going before the enemy and saying, I am sorry, well, please grant me little chance. Will not beg the enemy anymore. Amen. Because he leadeth me and he maketh me. He will make you what you ought to be in Jesus' name. And it says, and they shall have that life more abundantly. Come back to that John chapter 10, verse 3. In verse 3, look at what he's saying. It says, to him the potter openeth. To him the Lord is looking for you. And then when you come, that's him, open the door for him. The Lord will open the door for you. It says, to him the potter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. And then he tells us in verse 4, it says in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You will know his voice. I don't know who is speaking, tells me to do this, but I don't know. You will know. If you have been talking to him every day, if you have been hearing him every day, if he has been directing you every day, if he has been instructing, teaching, and guiding you every day, now today, you're familiar with his voice now. That's the way he speaks. He doesn't speak like a stormy ocean, a still, small voice. And Elijah realized God is talking, and he wrapped himself with that. And then God said, Elijah, what are you doing here? He knew who was asking the question, and he answered. When he speaks, you will hear, you will answer, for they know his voice. Then in verse 5, it says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. There are people that ruin their ministries, and they ruin their families by advice. And they do not understand the stranger is speaking. And because they do not know a stranger is speaking, they take every voice as the voice of God. And the voice is going to ruin their family. It's going to scatter, separate their family. And it's going to ruin their business. You will not hear You will not listen, you will not attend to the voice of the stranger in your life, in Jesus' name. In John chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and I will show you, it will show me, it will show me things to come. Let's come to point number two here. Number two, we're looking at the privilege and protection of the righteousness. We're coming to Psalm 23, and we're looking at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And then in verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, what do? They comfort me. Look at that. I will fear no evil. Fear makes the speaker not to speak. Fear makes the athlete not to run. Fear makes the provider for the house not to have appetite to eat. Fear paralyzes a man, a woman. He knows that's the way to go. He knows that the direction to go, but fear will ground him. And so the sheep of the shepherd said, the Lord is my shepherd. What have I got to fear? It's the one that controls heaven and earth. What have I got to fear? It's the one that controls even Satan. And Satan cannot go beyond his appointed territory. It's the one that controls all the shores of the ocean of the world, that they cannot cross that shore. And that Lord that controls heaven and earth, men and women, angels and demons, and the Lord who is in charge, in control of everything and everyone on earth, and he has taken my life, is deeply interested in me. He's interested in my success. He's interested in my moving on and achieving what he has called me to achieve. The Lord is my shepherd. I will fear no evil. You will fear no evil. Yeah. Oh, they say, don't talk, you know, about the goodness of the Lord, what he's doing publicly, because there are some people there, if they hear, they will overturn the goodness of God in your life. Impossible. I said impossible. You know that what the Lord wants to achieve through your life, through your ministry, through your church, he has already written it down. He said, I walk and no man can hinder him. The Lord will be with you. The Lord will sustain you. And I will fear no evil. Now, how do you overcome fear? Do what you feared to do. If you were afraid to go out, get up and go out. If you were afraid to preach, rise up and preach. If you were afraid to pursue the calling of God upon your life, look at that fear in the face and arise and do it. And when that spirit of fear knows that you have the spirit of faith, the spirit of fear discovers in your life you have the spirit of faith, that spirit will clear out of your way. Yeah. A foreign spirit, an evil spirit, not allowed to enter into your personality, that thing will have to vanish away. Yeah. You know, when two boys are playing, they open their eyes and they look at the first one to blink, and then they keep their eyes open, and this one is feeling some discomfort. discomfort in the, you know, in the ball, and then oh, I catch you. You are the first one to blink. The spirit of fear and the spirit of faith. One stands here, one stands there. And then we'll say we're going to look at the first one to blink. The spirit of faith will not give over to the spirit of fear. That thing will blink and that thing will vanish away.
Yeah.
You have the victory.
Yeah.
Where are you there? The Lord confirm it to your life. And there are three things we're looking at here. Number one, the restoration to the path of righteousness. Number two, the restfulness in places of restlessness. And number three, the rod of his power for our rescue. Let's look at number one. Number one is the restoration to the path of righteousness. It tells us in verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There is restoration. Look at Psalm 51. I'm reading from verse 12. It says, restore unto me, restore unto me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Do you remember when you were born again and you came to know the Lord, the joy that came to your heart, the peace, restore unto me the peace of thy salvation. Do you remember the peace you had when Christ, the Prince of Peace, entered into you and you were saved? Do you remember the confidence in your salvation, the confidence you had when you were saved? Do you remember the victory you had, the victory of salvation when the Lord came and took over your life? And then as the days go by and you were looking at circumstances rather than looking at the Christ who has saved you, then the joy began to decrease, and the peace and the victory and the assurance and the confidence. And so the man now is praying and he's saying, restore unto me the joy I used to have, the peace I used to have, the victory of salvation I used to have. Restoration today in your life in Jesus' name. And then if the joy of salvation can be restored, the purity of sanctification can also be restored. Do you remember when you were first sanctified and made holy and the Lord purified your heart? It's like, you know, you are walking on the air. It's like, you know, the whole world, you looked at the world and everything is like just a little thing, and you looked at heaven and heaven was very near. That we add the purity and the partnership and the serenity and the security of that sanctification experience, restore unto me the purity of that sanctification. Do you remember that baptism in the Holy Ghost when the Lord immersed you and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth? Do you remember when that power came in and then you went out everywhere, you could not trust the kind of vision you have and the kind of passion you have? Restore unto me the passion and the power of the Holy Ghost. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then it says in verse 13, it says, then will I teach, restore unto me, Lord, I want some joy, I want some peace, I want some confidence, I want some assurance, I want the earthly power I used to have, I want some zeal, I want those things you gave me those days. And as I have that and restores that unto me, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Restoration for everyone this morning in Jesus' name. In Micah chapter 7, And I'm reading here from verse 18. Micah chapter 7 verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He delighteth in mercy. Come this morning, and mercy in abundance multiplied will come to your heart in Jesus' name. In verse 19 says, he will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquity, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Will not float, will go to the depths of the sea, and you'll not remember them anymore, and heaven will not remember them anymore. It will, as he restores you, he renews your life. In Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 23. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed. When you are renewed in the spirit of your mind, you will not think discouragement. You'll be renewed. You'll not think failure. You'll not think defeat. You'll not think impossibility. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When he restores you and he renews you and he replenishes your life and he revives your life and you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, all the thinking, I cannot, I will not, I must not, I'm a failure, I'm a disappointment, you're renewed this morning. All those negative utterances about you, about yourself, everything will vanish away. Then in verse 24, and that she put on the new man. And that she put on the new man. Now, if you have the old clothes on you, no matter all the confession you make, I'm clean, I'm new, I'm all right, you still feel like you're not acceptable because you have the old clothes. Remove the old clothes and put on the new clothes, and then look at the mirror and see how it looks on you in the mirror. And then you'll go out with confidence and faith, and you'll go out with a kind of heart that knows, I put on a new dress. Now he says, put on the new man. Put on Christ, the one that knows no failure, the one that knows no negative confession. Put on Christ, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
For me.
Amen.
Things will no longer be the same in your life in Jesus' name. Look at number two here. Number two here is the restfulness in places of restlessness. We go around in different parts of the world and we experience, we see restlessness all around, insecurity all around, and we see violence all around, and it appears, what are we going to do? Because there is restlessness everywhere. But the Lord will give you rest. In your heart, in your soul, there'll be peace. When it appears there's trouble there, and you have to go through that place, that's the only road that gets you to where you are going. The angel of God will go before you. You will not panic. There'll be no restlessness in your spirit, because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Understand? It's not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. You know the difference? The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of a gun cannot kill. The shadow of an enemy can do nothing. The shadow, after all, you have your shadow. And sometimes, as you are walking, your shadow falls on another person. Not nothing to that person, just shadow. The shadow of a boxer The shadow of a wrestler, the shadow of an evil person, the shadow of witches and wizards, the shadow of all those people on earth is only their shadow. The Lord will not allow their power to come near you. But the Lord wants you to see that he's by your side and he's protecting you. That's why he makes you to see the shadow. And then you say, praise the Lord, is the shadow of a lion. Praise the Lord, is the picture of an animal. Praise the Lord, is the shadow of the picture of an injurious thing. Only the shadow you will see. And so, yea, though I walk through, I'll walk through. I said I'll walk through. You know something? Can I go through this? Yes, you can. Will I go through this? Yes, you will. Look at the things happening. Look at the storm. Look at the danger. Look at difficulty. Can I go through this? You will go through. I am going through. And going through is not a forever journey. Crossing the river is not a forever journey. That problem in your family, can I go through this one? It's not a forever thing. Today, the Lord will bring solution. Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Look at Psalm 138. I'm reading from verse 7. In Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou will revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Thy right hand shall save me. When you are in trouble, sometimes the fear of what may come after that will make you to forget even how to pray. How do I pray now? What do I say now? Look at this thing so near, open to this, Psalm 138, verse 7, and just say these words that becomes your prayer. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me, and thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Look at verse 8, and make this your prayer. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Say that again. Anything of interest to you, anything that comes to your life, and if that thing affects your life negatively, your life will be turned up upside down. And then you say, the Lord will, not that he may, is going to do it. I said he's going to do it. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. The Lord will not forsake you. Matthew chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, some people say, that is talking to those who are not born again. They are not saved. And so Christ is saying, come unto me. I don't think there's any limitation there. If you are laboring and you are heavy laden, if there is a heavy load on your heart, if there is a heavy load on your mind, and something that you think, this load might crush me, the Lord is inviting you this morning, come, you'll have rest. Problem, tears, agony, anguish, come, he will give you rest. Come unto me. All ye, you're saved and you have heavy load. You're saved and you have a heavy burden. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then in verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then in verse 30, it says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. There are times like Moses, people come to the Lord and they say, Lord, it's too heavy for me. I cannot bear the burden of these people. Kill me. Take me away. And the Lord says, no, you don't need killing. You need reviving. And the Lord will revive you. Yes. Here comes Elijah. And Elijah said, Lord, they're seeking after my life. They've killed all the prophets. And God said, no, Elijah, you don't have all the information. I still have 7,000 men that have not bowed their knees unto Baal. What you need is bread and water from heaven. And the Lord sent an angel and fed him. And then he drank. And then he said, go in the strength of the Lord. And he went in the strength of that meal, of that food, 40 days. And he was not tired. Tiredness taken away from your life. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 11. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let's come to number three here. Number three here, the rod of his power for our rescue. Look at Psalm 23 verse 4. Ye, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Emmanuel is with you. The God of heaven is with you. The deliverer, mighty deliverer, is with you. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I see the sheep is saying, when I see that rod in the hand of the shepherd, I have comfort. Why? Because it's that rod that will fight the lion, fight the bear, fight the beast of the field. It is not to crush, it is not to destroy the sheep, it is to defend the sheep. The rod of the Almighty God will defend you. It tells us in Psalm 110, Psalm 110, in verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. The rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. See the Egyptian army coming with their chariots, and here were the children of Israel. They just came out of Egypt, and then they cried and said, you have brought us here to destroy us. This is what we're saying. Let's serve the Egyptians. They wanted to be slaves again. You'll never be slaves again in your life. And then the Lord said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And he said, a rod. Why are you crying then? There are times we'll stop crying and we start acting. We'll stop praying and we'll start acting. Stretch forth that rod. And he stretched forth the rod, and then the sea parted for them. The rod of the strength of God will open the sea before you. And as the children of Israel passed over the sea, then the Egyptians said, what an Israelite can do, an Egyptian can do. Pharaoh, no sir, doesn't work that way. What a man can do, a woman can do. No, my sister, it's only when you have the rod in your hand. And what this, what Paul can do, then we know that, you know, I can do also. It's only when you have the rod. And so the Egyptians said, pursue. And they pursued. And when they came to the middle of the sea, God said, Moses, what's that in your hand again? It's the rod of God. The rod of Moses became the rod of God. And he said, stretch it forth, and the sea closed over on them. And they saw those enemies never again. I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And the rod of the Lord will comfort you in your life in Jesus' name. We're looking here at verse 3. It says in verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. Youthfulness will come back to your life. Look at Psalm 91. I'm reading from verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Then in verse 10, there shall no evil befall you. That's your confession today. That's your confession. Every day there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, it says, and the Lord shall deliver me. Say it for yourself. From every evil work. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We come to point number 3 here. Point number 3, we're looking at Psalm 23 verses 5 and 6. Our progress into the paradise of rapturous splendor. In verse 5, that prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Verse 6, it says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Demons will not follow me. Yeah. Evil spirits will, say it for yourself, evil spirit will not follow me. Bad luck will not follow me. Injurious people will not follow me. Regular yearly accident will not follow me. Poverty will not follow me. The fear of man will not follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. People say, when I was very young, you know, every door just opened. When I was younger in the ministry, younger in the faith, when I was younger, you know, success, provision, money, finance, good things just followed me. But now, as I'm getting older, all those things don't follow anymore. Maybe because I cannot fast the way I used to fast in the good olden days. All the days of your life, goodness and mercy, as long as there is a God who does good in heaven, as long as there's a God of all mercy in heaven, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I, you know, the devil is very tricky. The devil will say and whisper in your ears, jumping up and down, preaching here, preaching there, casting out devils here, subduing that, relieving that, having this project. what if at the end of time, after doing all this and all that, you don't get to heaven? And then people say, it's true. What if after all this, laboring, working, rising early, sleeping late, writing, preaching, evangelizing, edifying the church, what if eventually I don't get to heaven? Surely. Somebody say surely.
Surely.
How, even a human being, you have a diligent worker, a skilled worker, is always there and he serves with all the ounce of energy in his life, and then he comes to the end of his profession, and you happen to be the leader or you happen to be the director. When the fellow has served you more than he served himself, at the end of life, will you abandon him? If ye, being evil, know how to do good things unto people, how much more God, the Lord, will reward you?
Yes.
Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Me and God, me and God will live in the same house forever.
Yeah.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither before you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for
me.
For them?
For
you. He told his disciples that, and he's telling us that, he's telling you that, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will not send an angel to come and, you know, escort you home. I myself, I will come and you will leave me, so that where I am, where are you? There you will be also. I will see you in heaven.
Yeah.
Heaven will be your final home.
Yeah.
After serving the Lord faithfully here, he cannot abandon you at the point of death, at the point of the rapture. He's going to take you home. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Three things. Number one, the overflowing cup of his peculiar people. Number two, the ever-present companions of the purified pilgrims. Number three, the everlasting comfort in his perfect paradise. Look at number one. Number one is the overflowing cup for his peculiar people. In Psalm 23 verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. The anointing will not fail in your life. The anointing that breaks the yoke, the anointing that drives the enemy away from the path of your progress, that anointing will not dry up in your life in Jesus' name. It prepares a table before you in the very presence of your enemies, and it will anoint your head with heavenly oil, and your cup will run over. Look at Psalm 30, Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Then in verse 20, it says in verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. In Titus chapter 2 verse 14, the peculiar people of the Lord who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You'll be peculiar.
Yeah.
Even Satan will look at you and say, this one is peculiar, you can't touch this one. The demons will look at you and say, this one is peculiar. It's not like every Deacon Harry. Are you like every Deacon Harry? In the sight of God, in the mind of God, and with the favor of God upon your life, you'll not be like a Deacon Harry. It says you'll be a peculiar person, zealous of good works. And the anointing that he gives will abide in your life, overflow in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 10, reading from verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Anointing in your ministry. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Look at number two here. Number two, the ever-present companions of purified pilgrims. Ever-present, always there. It says in the first part of Psalm 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll not get tired. Yourself, I'll not get weary. I'll not get fagged out, fatigued. I will not faint. I will not fall. I'll not falter. I will not give up. Because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Good, good things will follow you.
Yeah.
You will always see the hand of the Lord in your ministry,
yeah,
in your profession,
yeah,
in your family,
yeah,
because the word of God is greater than the enemy outside. And it says, goodness and mercy shall follow who? Follow who? Like your shadow follows you, goodness will follow you.
Yeah.
And mercy will follow you.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're walking, and it's like you're hearing some steps, and you look back there, you only see goodness as you look back there.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're walking, and then it's like somebody there, mercy is there.
Yeah.
And even when you are walking fast, goodness and mercy will walk fast after you.
Yeah.
The Lord will show you a revelation of that today.
Yeah.
As mercy from nowhere will come. Goodness from nowhere will come.
Yeah.
Then you will remember. That's what he said. That surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of your life. Come to number three here. Number three is the everlasting comfort in his perfect paradise. Look at this. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the beggar died, and he was taken by the angels and taken to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man died also, and he lifted up his eyes in hell, And then he saw Father Abraham on the other side and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime, you thought you could live without Christ, without grace, without salvation, only with religion, and you didn't have what it takes to come over here. And Lazarus had his own time or problem. Now you are tormented and he is comforted. The comfort that you're going to have on that final day. And you have it over and over all the years, millions and trillions of years forever. And beside that, there's a gulf fixed between you and I, so that the people wanting to come from there to this place cannot. And those who want to pass from here to you cannot. The comfort of Lazarus forever, and the torment of that rich man without grace, without godliness, without goodness, and without the righteousness of grace, the torment of that man will be forever and ever. Now, here is the rich man. Here is Lazarus. Let everybody queue behind them. Which queue do you belong to? Do you want to queue behind that man, the rich man, who in hell will lift up his eyes and say he is tormented in this flame and that will be forever and ever? Or do you want to queue behind Lazarus, who had tasted the grace of God, had tasted the goodness of God, had tasted the godliness that God brings, and then now he is comforted, and forever he'll be comforted? Make your choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my members, we will serve the Lord. As for me, let to me alone, I choose the right way. I choose the way of the cross. I choose the way of grace. I choose the way of salvation. Here is where I stand, and Satan will not take me away from the hand of God. Your final day will be a day of comfort. Your final life will be a life of comfort. And your eternity, when you get over there to the perfect paradise, it will be a place of comfort for you in Jesus' name. And as you come and you follow the Lord and you take his yoke upon you and you become a sheep in his pasture, and you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then from now until eternity, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will be there. I will see you there. And we shall dwell together in the house of the Lord. How long? 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, on and on and on. It will never end. Come to the Lord now. Stay with the Lord now. Abide in the Lord now. Continue with the Lord now. And then the end will soon come. I'll be there.
Amen.
Rise up and pray and tell the Lord, I will be there.